This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. The devil is in the business of making messes in your life. He will do anything he can to make a mess in your life. He will do anything he can to sow confusion and strife in your life. Look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. The devil wants to get into our thinking, get us thinking that what's right is wrong and what's wrong is right, because it leads to death. All of that means there's going to be some mess that you're going to have to deal with in your life. So how do we do? How do we deal with mess? We need some tools to work with, don't we? We need some mops and some brooms and some good mess cleanup tools. Go over to Luke chapter 10. Verses 17 through 19. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Jesus gave his disciples all authority over the power of the devil. You know what that means? The devil has no right to keep mess going on in your life. You have the authority over him to deal with whatever mess he tries to keep going in your life. You need to know you've got authority. Suppose you were to go downtown, and you just walk downtown and you see somebody sitting out in their car, and you walk up to them and say, sir, I'd like you to get out of your car and show me your driver's license and registration. Now, I'll tell you something, there are some streets in the city of Harrisburg where I wouldn't try that. Amen. Unless when I walk up to that car, I am wearing a blue suit or gray these days. Amen. And I've got a little shield on. And here's the most important part of it in places like our wonderful city. I've got a gun on my side. Amen. Because what? Those are emblems of authority. What I couldn't do if I just walk up to somebody in my little blue suit here. Amen. Sir, please get out of your car. Show me your registration and your driver's license. I can't even repeat in here what they probably say to me. Amen. But if I got on the right emblem of authority that shows that I have been delegated authority from the proper authorities, and I got the power to back it up, amen, then I have the right and the ability to cause people to do what I want them to do. I have the ability to straighten out some mess. There should not be any mess going on in our lives that we are not dealing with on the basis of the authority of Jesus Christ. You see, what I want to do today is just get us to see the authority that we have over all of the activity of the devil in our lives, what he wants to do in our lives, so that we will know this: because I have supernatural authority from Jesus, I am never a victim of circumstances in my life. Understand this. I don't care who's trying to do what to you, you need not be victimized. Why? Jesus is with you. They're trying to mess over you at work, not giving you your due, not promoting you the way you should be promoted, not paying you what you're worth. Guess what? Jesus has given you authority to deal with that situation. Now, we're going to talk about the fact that that doesn't mean that you go up and tell your boss off. Amen? Because Jesus can also help you find a new job. And if you do that, you'll need one. Amen? No, there are ways to go about this. But the point I want you to see this morning is you are not helpless. You are never somebody that they are doing stuff to and you can't help yourself. You have authority to deal with the situations of your life. You are never a victim of circumstance. Go over to 1 Samuel, the Old Testament, chapter 17. See, this is what David understood. We read about David this morning. David came to where the army of Israel was encamped against the Philistines. And he was just a young lad, had just come bringing food from home for his brothers who were in the army. But when he got there, he saw this huge giant by the name of Goliath. And Goliath would come out every morning, stand there and taunt the Israelites. Hey guys, why don't you come over and fight? Send somebody over here and fight me. I'll fight him with one hand behind my back. Anybody watch The Wizard of Oz? I'll fight him with one hand behind my back. I'll fight him with one leg in the air. That's what Goliath was doing. And David said, this is some mess. This is not the way it should be. The army of the living God should not be taunted this way. Look at what he said. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 26. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You see what David said? This is a messed up situation, and somebody needs to do something about it. And he looked around at the rest of the army, and they all were looking around at somebody else. You're right, David. I hope somebody does. David said, I'm the man. I'm the man. I'll deal with it. Now, catch this. David was a young man. Some authorities think he may have been about 17 years old at the time. He was not some experienced warrior. He didn't have a great deal of experience and knowledge in fighting giants, but he had one thing. He knew who his God was. Amen? He knew who his God was. He had seen God work in his life already. When he went to Saul, he said, well, King Saul, Saul said, you can't do this. I mean, you're just a kid. How can you go out and defeat the giant? Well, King, I was out in the field, and a lion came and tried to take one of my sheep. And God gave me the strength to overcome the lion. And then a bear came, tried to take one of my sheep. God gave me the strength to grab the bear by the beard and beat him up. And I know that God can do the same with this uncircumcised Philistine. You see, David knew who his God was. And he knew that God was with him. And therefore, he knew he had authority in this situation. Understand this. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, he has given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you do not need to just lay down and take what the devil dishes out to you anymore. You have authority to deal with it. You are not a helpless pawn. You are not a victim. You have the authority. Go over to Proverbs 28, verse 1. Here's the way that you ought to be as a Christian. Let me tell you something. Christian, you should have some attitude about you. You should have some attitude. Now, I don't mean the kind of attitude that we talk about when we say, you know, she had an attitude today. Not that attitude. No, catch the attitude we should have. Look at this. Proverbs 28, verse 1. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. That should be your attitude. Whatever situation you're trying to deal with in life, your attitude should be one of boldness. Why? Because you're so good? Because Jesus is with you. Hallelujah. Jesus is there. Jesus can deal with that situation. You don't need to be fearful. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be passive, sitting back, waiting for what somebody's going to do to you. As we're going to talk about, you have the authority to take steps, to take action, to get the situation straightened out because you have the authority of Jesus. bold. Now, that doesn't mean that you're prideful. That doesn't mean that you have an in-your-face attitude toward other people. Understand this. The scripture says that we do not fight against flesh and blood. Amen? Our fight is against what? Principalities, powers. In other words, the devil and all the power of his hellish realm. So you don't look at somebody else and get up in their face and go show how bold you are. No, no, no. What? Your boldness is toward all the power of the enemy. Amen? And nobody can by any means hurt you, the scripture says, because we have been given authority over him. So we stand up to the devil. He's coming trying to stir up mess in our family life. In the name of Jesus, this is not going to stand. Devil, I come against you in the name of Jesus. And then we're going to talk about how we come before the Lord and get him to intervene in our behalf to exercise the power that he's given to us. Lord, I don't have the kind of job I need, and they're trying to keep me down on this job, but I don't have to stand for that. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I call upon you to be my promoter. He says that he is the one who sets one up and sets another one down. Promotion does not come from the north or the south or the east or the west. It comes from God. And therefore, God, I, on the basis of the name of Jesus, call on you to do what needs to be done in my life. You have authority. You don't just have to be a pawn of the devil. Oh, I love how David handled his situation. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Look at verse 45. Look at the attitude that David had. Look at how he handled it when he faced a giant of circumstances in his life. A huge mess. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin." Catch this. "But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the army of Israel, whom you have defiled." David knew where his power lay. I come to you in the name of the God of hosts. This is not little 17-year-old puny itty bitty David talking to you. This is somebody that Jesus is standing behind. And you need to know. I'm not talking about my power. I'm not talking about my authority. It's the one who has all authority and all power that's going to deal with this situation. And having that attitude, look what David did. Look at verse 48. Having that attitude, knowing that God was going to deal with the situation, verse 48. "So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine." Do you see it? Here's this itty bitty little guy, and he didn't even have on armor. He didn't even have a sword. All he had was a little sling and five stones. And when trouble came, when the devil stirred up the biggest mess he could stir up in the form of this man Goliath, instead of running away, instead of crying, "Oh, why, God, why are you letting this happen to me?" It says, what did David do? He ran. He hastened. And which direction was he hastening in? Running home to mama? He ran toward him. He said, the bigger they are, the harder they're going to fall. Amen. Come on, Goliath, it's your time. Why? He knew his authority. What I'm trying to get us to see this morning is this. You've got some messes in your life. I know you have. I got some in my life. But instead of just lying down, hoping something's going to happen to clean up the mess, instead of running away, "Oh, I don't want to think about that. Oh, you know, I just can't deal with it. Can't deal with it." Instead of running away, you need to go forward to deal with your situation. You've got the authority. You've got the power. Do something about it. Don't let it mess over you anymore. What is it you need to do? How can you put into practice the authority and the power that God has given you? You've got to have some weapons. Amen. You've got to have some weapons. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. What are the weapons that you can use to enforce the authority that Jesus has given you in the situations of your life. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. What the word is telling us is that the weapons that we have been given to use are not the weapons the world will use. When somebody gets in your face and is trying to mess over you, what is the world's reaction? You get angry, you get mad, you come back at them harder than they came at you. Somebody says something to you that is not respectful, what do? You jump on them with both feet verbally, isn't that right? But you see, those are the weapons of the world. Anger and fear and frustration and just saying what you feel like saying, those are weapons of the world. We have been given different weapons. They are spiritual weapons. Go back over to 1 Samuel 17. Look at what happened to David as he was preparing to go out and meet Goliath. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 39, Saul gave David his own armor and his own sword. In verse 39, it says, David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Look down at verse 50. What was the result? David went out, met the Philistine, hit him with one stone and dropped him. Hallelujah. And look at what it says in verse 50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. What's that telling us? David had enough sense not to try to use the world's weapons. David said, I can't handle this stuff. This stuff won't get the job done. If he'd gone out there with a sword and armor, can you imagine this little scrawny 17-year-old in Saul's armor trying to walk around and get to Goliath with a big sword he could hardly even carry? Goliath would have mopped him up. He had to use the weapons that God had given him. When that lion came at him, he didn't have a sword. He had his sling. When that bear was going after the sheep, he didn't have armor on, but he had his sling. And so he said, I know the weapon God's given me. I can use this sling. And you know, he went and picked up 5 stones and put them in his bag. He didn't need but one. Amen. Because he knew the weapons of his warfare. What are the weapons that God has given us? Here's weapon number one. Go over to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Here's the first thing that we need to do in order to begin using the authority that Jesus has given us. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, whenever I think about the story of Goliath standing up defying the whole army of Israel, I see that as a story of the victory of fear. Think about it for a moment. Goliath was huge. And because he was huge, nobody wanted to go out and fight him. They knew he'd kill him. That made sense. Amen. But suppose King Saul had said this. Okay, we got this big dude over here. He comes out every morning. Here's what we're going to do. When he comes out, I want you to get 100 guys. Some of you hit him high, some of you hit him low. While you're working on him, the rest of us are going to go and wipe out the Philistines. I don't care how big he is. You get enough people on him, you're going to take him down. Isn't that right? But they were so paralyzed by fear, that they stood there for days and days and days and let this man taunt them. That's the effect that fear will have in your life. And that's why the enemy, that's why Satan will do everything he can to keep you fearful about your circumstances. I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, I don't know what's going to happen. Oh, I don't know what are they going to lay off down at the job? Oh, am I going to be able to pay the rent? I just don't know. And as long as you're caught up in fear, you will be paralyzed from taking the action that you need to take. Number one, you have not been given a spirit of fear. But what? Of power and of love and of a sound mind. You need to know you need not be fearful. Here's number two. Go over to Psalm chapter 55, verses 16 and 17. Psalm chapter 55, verses 16 and 17. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. The first step is to not be fearful so that you won't be paralyzed. But as soon as you get unparalyzed, what's the first thing you need to do? You need to call on God. You need to call upon God. And when you do, go find 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. When you get into a situation where you don't know what to do, you don't know how to handle it, you've got to call on God. That's the only hope you have. And he has given you the promise that he would never leave you nor forsake you. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, King Jehoshaphat was being attacked by a multitude, and he didn't know what to do, didn't know how to handle it. Look what he said. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But, what did he say? Our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you. When you get into a situation, it's a mess. You don't know how to handle it. The first thing you need to do is get your eyes off the mess and onto God. God, I don't know how to handle this. But my eyes are on you. What does the scripture tell us? What's the most important weapon that we have? In James 5:16, it says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You have got the power to come into the presence of God and say, Father, I need your help. Hallelujah. And guess what? He says, you need me? I'll be there. The second thing that you have as a weapon, you have the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please and shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. When you take hold of God's word, when you begin to speak the word over your situation, when you begin to speak the promises of God that he has given you in his word, when you begin to stand up and say, as Peter said one day, a man was there who was crippled and he was begging alms, and Peter and John went up to him and he was begging from them, and Peter said, silver and gold, I don't have any of that, but what I have, I'll give you in the name of Jesus, rise. You've been given the power of the name of Jesus over your circumstances. You've been given the power of the promises of God in your circumstances. The scripture says that whatever temptation or trial takes you, God is faithful. He has already made a way of escape for you to bear it. If you'll just take hold of his word and take hold of the name of Jesus. Understand this. As long as you are moaning, groaning, and complaining about your circumstances, you will have no power. Amen? As long as you get on the phone every day and tell your friends how bad it is. And I say your friends because if you keep on telling one of them long enough, pretty soon you won't have that one, so you have to go to another friend. You just keep on moaning, groaning, and complaining. Eventually, you'll run out of friends. Amen? Because nobody wants to hear that stuff. No. If you want to deal with your circumstances, instead of confessing how bad it is, confess the word and the power of God. You have been given prayer. You have been given the word of God. What's the final weapon that you have? Go over to James chapter 1, verse 5. Weapons of our warfare to deal with the circumstances of our life. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. You're in a situation and you don't know what to do about it. What do you need? You need wisdom. Amen. You need intelligence beyond your own. You need knowledge and ability beyond what you have. And God has made you the promise. If you come to me and ask for the wisdom you need to deal with the circumstances of your life, I will give it to you. Now, in another message, we'll go to the next verse where it says, you come in faith without doubting if you expect to get anything from God. Amen? But right now, just catch hold of the fact. God is saying, I'll give you the wisdom that you need in order to know what you need to do to deal with your circumstance. You see, my purpose today was not to give you 10 easy steps to the abundant life, to overcoming every problem that you have. No, my purpose today is just to get us to understand I have been given authority to deal with my circumstance, and if I will cry out to God, search His word and find His promises, and then come before Him, standing upon the promises that He's given me, asking Him for wisdom to give me a plan of action, God will show me what I need to do to deal with my circumstance. I don't care what it is. It may be your family, it may be your job, it may be school, whatever it is, when you will come to God in confidence and faith, saying, Father, show me what to do, and then you are willing to take the action that He calls upon you to take, God will back up your authority over the devil in that circumstance. That's the bottom line, folks. You know what will make me happy? If I never hear another person in Covenant Community Church moaning, groaning, and complaining about how bad things are. If instead of hearing that, I hear how you're standing on this promise from God's word. I hear how, oh yes, oh, the devil's been coming against me, but I have so much confidence in the Lord, and the Lord is giving me a plan of attack, and here's what I plan to do to go and whip that devil. In the name of Jesus. But as long as you think that your circumstances has got you down, you'll just lie there. You'll cry. You'll moan. And guess what? 2 years from now, you'll still be crying and moaning, and the circumstance will just be worse. But if you know that you've got authority to deal with the mess in your life, God will give you the way to do it.